It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Today I spoke to Green Party co-leader James Shaw about their suggestion to replace some car lanes on the Harbour Bridge with cycling lanes, which they say will improve capacity as well as benefit the environment. Then we spoke about the Dawn Raids, which occurred nearly 50 years ago, and why the government should apologise. And lastly, we spoke about Corrections Minister Calvin Davis's newly announced review of our women's prisons.
Let's start off by talking about the Harbour Bridge. The Green Party has called for the urgent addition of cycle lanes. Why is Green asking for this now?
Well, we've been waiting for close to a decade for SkyPath, the addition to the bridge that was going to have walking and cycling. And because of the engineering works required, it looks like that's going to be ditched or possibly even turned into a separate bridge. But the need is really desperate, frankly, to be able to get more people across the bridge in a more efficient manner. And so one of the best ways that you can do that is to dedicate one lane of vehicle traffic to cycling and walking.
Yeah, so even though our SkyPath dreams have been dashed, there was a recent leak that suggests that the council is considering the addition of an entirely new bridge, which would presumably have pedestrian and cyclist access. What are your thoughts on that possibility?
Well, I think it has to be investigated. We know that the most efficient way to move people across from one side to the other is on foot or on a bicycle. I mean, of course, you've got, huge demand just on the North Shore side there. So we think that that would take significant amounts of traffic off the roads if you were to have, a walking and a cycling option available to people, which currently, just doesn't exist. So people are forced to take a car, even if they don't want to.
It's likely that any sort of longer-term project, such as building a new bridge, would take a significant amount of time. Do you think that's too long to wait for cyclist access? What would you propose in the short term in terms of, giving cyclist access to the Harbour Bridge?
Well, in the short term, what you could do is you could dedicate one lane that's currently dedicated to private vehicle traffic and convert that over to a walking and cycling lane in both directions. That would obviously free up considerable amounts of space, and given that walking and cycling obviously takes a lot less space than a private vehicle, you could get a lot of people across the bridge by doing that. And what we've seen from examples around the world and other cities who have moved on this faster than New Zealand has, is that actually when you create that supply of space, then people fill it. So I lived in London for a very long time, during which time they were converting, kind of whole lanes from some of their central arterial routes over to cycleways. And the traffic on those was immense because people just found it a faster, healthier and safer way to get to work.
Could you tell me about some of the benefits that replacing some car lanes with cycling lanes would have in terms of stuff like, traffic and environmental impact and all that stuff?
Well, it's way more efficient. So, obviously a private vehicle takes up a reasonable amount of surface area, whereas, and you could fit a number of bicycles into the same amount of area, right? So what that means is you can actually get more people across the bridge faster. That also reduces the need for people using the actual traffic lanes themselves for the private vehicles. So it actually does mean that, I guess it's counterintuitive, right? People say, if you give up a lane of for private vehicles, that means that those other lanes will become more congested. Actually, what happens is that people convert from private vehicles to bicycles, and demand for the private vehicle lanes actually reduces, even though the amount of space has reduced as well. So that's one. Obviously, the health benefits from walking and cycling are considerably greater than for driving. It's good for mental health as well. And so it's all around just a better solution. It's cleaner, it's faster, it's more efficient, and it's healthier.
Well, let's just switch gears now and talk about the Dawn Raids. The Green Party has supported calls for the government to issue a formal apology for the Dawn Raids, which occurred nearly 50 years ago. Could we start off by outlining what the Dawn Raids were and the government's role in them?
Well, these were raids on Pacific Island families and communities because the government was operating a racist policy at the time. And they're called dawn raids for a reason. They would occur very early on in the morning, so families would generally be asleep and people would be kind of caught by surprise and dragged from their houses. So this is kind of just, it's a fact of history, and it's one that we have yet to atone for.
Yeah, so why hasn't the government already apologised for these events?
Well, I have to say that is a very good question. Like you said, these occurred nearly 50 years ago, throughout the 1970s, particularly under Rob Muldoon. And you kind of think, well, you know, surely by now there would have been some kind of apology for that. David Longey, when he was a lawyer, before he entered Parliament in the 1970s, actually acted on behalf of some of these families, and then he obviously went on later to become a Labor Party Prime Minister, and we've had two other Labor Party Prime Ministers since then. So the Labor Party have got a tradition through David Longey here of having supported those families who were the subject of these dawn raids. I think that it's just one of those things that it's about time that we got around to saying there's a piece of our history that we need to acknowledge and to say that we're sorry for.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, this is sort of an unavoidable part of our history. Is this topic included within our school's history curriculum, and if not, should it be?
As far as I know, it is not included in our school's history curriculum. I think it's sort of one of those details of New Zealand history that we'd prefer to airbrush over. But now that we are making teaching New Zealand history a core part of the curriculum, and the design there is supposed to be that kids will not just get a sense of the history of Aotearoa overall, but also of their local area, the area that their school is in, that there'll be some flexibility to include stories like these where they're particularly pertinent. So I do hope that it comes through.
Yeah, so these raids were supposedly motivated by concerns over visas. Within your press release, it was mentioned that the Green Party supports the offering of a pathway towards residency for those who are overstaying their visas. Why is this important to the Green Party?
Well, we have a long tradition of standing up for the rights of recent arrivals and immigrants, particularly in kind of situations of hardship. And many of the families who were affected by the dawn raids were, of course, amongst the kind of lowest paid or most vulnerable people in New Zealand. And I think in this situation, if we're saying, look, we're sorry for, this particularly dark episode of our history, then offering pathways to citizenship is one of the ways that we can offer some form of reparation, if you like.
So lastly, let's talk about prisons. Corrections Minister Calvin Davis has announced an urgent review of women's prisons. What's your response to this news?
We're really delighted. It's overdue. The evidence has been apparent for some time that women's prisons, prisons in general, but particularly the circumstances in women's prisons was pretty dire, and that ultimately that's counterproductive because it doesn't do anything to help to bring people back into being full members of society. We've always wanted a justice and correction system that is focused on restorative justice rather than on punitive justice. And clearly, the evidence that the minister is seeing has led him to believe that the conditions are so bad it's time to intervene.
Yeah, so Green has also called for a number of ways that this could be taken further, the first of which is that this could obviously extend to men's prisons as well, where mistreatment is also quite common. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. Again, there's just ample evidence that keeps popping up that the conditions in a number of our prisons are really substandard, They're overcrowded. The condition of the facilities is very poor. And ultimately, like I said before, this does nothing in terms of taking people who are serving a sentence and helping to bring them back in as full members of society.
You've also called for the work program to be extended to all prisons instead of just corrections. Could you explain what this program is and why it's important?
Well, you know, the people who end up in prison are often people who have had, at best, a checkered employment history, often long-term unemployed. Ensuring that everybody has access to that kind of program and that they are able to build up some of those kind of critical life skills that mean that they will be seen as, valuable employees once they're out of prison is a really important part of a proper restorative justice program. And at the moment, it's only a partial program.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.